Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 5, verse 1. "And afterward Moses and Aaron went in, and told Pharaoh, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I'm asking that you would speak to the people today. I believe that you have a word for us today. Lord, when I was seeking you for this message, I believe that you gave something to me, and it blessed me. It helped me. Lord, it brought me closer to Christ. And I believe, Lord, that you gave it so that others would hear and also be able to feast on the Word of God. Lord, speak to the people today. Lift them up. Help them, Lord. Bless them, Heavenly Father. And Lord, we thank you and praise you, Lord. If those that are suffering, Lord, I want you to help them and minister to them. Those that are sick in their body, Lord, you're the Lord that heals us. Those that are confused, those that are frightened, those that whatever, Lord, whatever the trouble is, you can take care of the people. And Lord, please minister to them. Please lift them up, O Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, we're continuing our study in Exodus, and I want to pick up right here next week. I don't want to go through this chapter, but what I'd like to focus on is the fact that God called Moses, and by extension, Aaron. And we know the story of the Exodus, and that's what we've been studying on. But it says here in this verse that Moses and Aaron did what God said, that they went. They went. First, they went to the people, the Jews, the Hebrew children, and spoke to them. And then they went to Pharaoh. And as we read in the next few chapters, God delivers his people Israel. But the thing, like I said, I want to focus on today is that Moses and Aaron went. I'd like to turn to another passage, and probably familiar to many of you. Isaiah chapter 6. It says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And above it stood the seraphim. Each had six wings, and with twain he covered his face, with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke." Now this is a short chapter, and I'd like to read it all. This chapter, this particular passage here, quite often is used when speaking about missionaries, and that is my subject today, missionaries. There are many other passages that a minister can use to preach on missions work, many, many passages, but this one is one that I'm most fond of when you're speaking about missionaries. But if you look at Isaiah was a prophet. You can read the 66 books chapters that he wrote, and you can see his heart. You can see the burden in his heart for his people. You can see that he walked with the Lord, and he got his sermons, as it were, from the Lord, and that he suffered because the people that were in charge, the religious people or whatever, they didn't want to hear what he had to say. And his was a message of hope. His was a message of the goodness of God, but his also was a message of judgment that was coming. And we can certainly, if you know anything about the Old Testament, you know that judgment did come. And him and other prophets had spoken to their respective congregations, if you will. And judgment did come because the people refused to hear. And they were carried off to Babylon for 70 years. And we know this story. But God speaks to Isaiah. God, obviously he's in the ministry, but God gives him a greater revelation of the Lord. He said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And you know, as I'm reading this, I remember the little chorus. It says, I saw the Lord, I saw the Lord. He is high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And maybe you're familiar with that little chorus, I don't know. But he has a vision of God. He has a vision of the Lord. And we know that God is, we speak of the Trinity. In verse 3, we know that God is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. And he says, and one cried to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. We say that God is a thrice holy God. But it says right here in verse 5, Then I said, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. And I'd like to remember this. He says that he's a man of unclean lips, because when we get back, there's at least two verses in Exodus that talk about Moses saying that he's a man of uncircumcised lips. He realizes, Moses did, and he realizes, Isaiah did, that when he comes into the presence of God, he realizes his faults, his sinfulness, his failings, shortcomings, whatever. God is wonderful. God is omnipotent. God is perfect. God is all-powerful, etc. And in the presence of God's holiness, he realizes that he is unholy. He is unclean. Now, certainly, Isaiah, he wasn't a Christian per se, but certainly he was a child of God. Moses, certainly, he was the deliverer. These men walked with God. Moses was on the mountain, and God revealed himself to Moses. And it says that Moses walked with God and talked with God face to face. And it says that Moses was the friend of God. These are men that walk with God. But still, as God progressively revealed himself to his ministers, they would see more of their failures, their shortcomings. You know, it's popular on television to demonstrate how prideful you are. That how, look at the new revelation that I've got. And let me see if I can lord what I have in my position over the people. Jesus said that he hates the doctrine of the Nicolaitanes. They lord it down over the people, let's say. The Bible says that pride goes before a fall, and a haughty spirit before destruction. But as you come into contact with the Lord, as you read his word, obviously this man Isaiah had a vision that he was taken up into heaven. Moses went up on the mountain and talked with God. He went into the tent of meeting and saw God face to face. Now, I'm not saying you're going to have a vision of the Lord. I'm not saying anything like that. But as you read the word of God, in one passage it says that the Word of God is like a mirror, and as you look into the mirror of God, the Word of God, you see yourself. I know we look to the Bible to see Christ, but it also reflects on us. And the passage I'm talking about is obviously in the temple of Moses, and we're going to study that. At some point we're going to study the temple of Moses. But I'm talking about the brazen laver. How that the priest would go and wash. Every time they had to do something in the temple, they would come back and wash. They washed dozens of times a day. And as they would wash, they would see their reflection. And Peter talks about the washing of the water of the Word. And the Word of God will wash you clean. But in washing you clean, it implies that there's something dirty in you that needs to be washed out. Jesus told Peter, he said, you don't have to wash your whole body, just your hands and feet, because you're already clean. You're already a Christian. But in tramping about in the world, we have to deal with the things of the world. We have to interact with sinners and go maybe to work, and they're playing some stuff on the radio you don't like or whatever. And you long to be clean from that. You long to get back into church or maybe back home where you can read the Bible and get that fellowship with the Lord back as in your heart as it should be. You have to wash daily. You have to read and study the Word of God daily. But I've said all that to say this, that as you get a revelation from the Lord, however He chooses to give it, and certainly the Word of God is one of the main places to do such, you will see the Lord, but you will see yourself and your failures. And he said, woe unto me, for I am undone, in verse 5, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And again, it reinforces that he realized that he had troubles because he was viewing God himself. And it says, then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. And I suppose I could preach on that if I had time, talking about the brazen altar, which is where the coals came from. And as we get a chance to study on the temple, we'll probably reference this again. But it talks about that sin is purged at Calvary. Sin is taken away. The sin problem is taken away when Jesus hung on the cross. And as we put our faith in him, he can purge our sin. He can forgive our sin. He can wash away our sin. Verse 8, and I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here I am, send me. Now notice that. Here I am, send me. But God is asking the question, whom shall I send, and who shall go for us? Now it says God, and it says the word us. And you'll find many times as you're studying the Word of God that it makes reference to the Trinity. This is the second reference to the Trinity here in this one chapter. It said, holy, holy, holy. And then God says, who's going to go for us? Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. There's one God, make no mistake. Make no mistake about that, but he shows himself to us in three persons. Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here I am, send me. And I believe, and obviously many others believe, that is a wonderful example of the call of God to preach or to teach or to go as a missionary or something. That is God's call. And obviously, that's specifically speaking to Isaiah. But the Lord calls each of us if he has something for us to do. And as a minister, I can say that I've received a call. And perhaps some of you, maybe you're a deacon, or maybe you're just sitting in the pew, but God has been speaking to your heart about doing something for the Lord. He will call. And he certainly needs somebody. What did he say? He said, pray that the Lord would send laborers into his harvest. And God will call. And he's asking if you will say, here I am, Lord, send me. And then the rest of the chapter, it's a little strange, and I'll run through it. But it makes reference of judgment. It makes reference of the fact that Israel had prophets. They had the Word of God. They had the great stories of deliverance in, for instance, the book of Exodus. They knew about the Red Sea. But many times they said, well, we want to go our own way and do our own thing. And too often that's true here in the church in America. And we know that judgment came, and I believe also that America will pay for her sins. But in verse 9 he says, go and tell these people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert, and be healed. Now Christ referenced these two verses right here many times when he said, "He that hath ears, let him hear. He that hath eyes, let him see," and what have you. We hear the gospel again and again and again, and we sit in the pew and we let our ears not hear. We let our eyes not see. We get bored with it or something, just like this passage. We need to understand that the Lord is precious, and His Word is precious, and that we should reverence it. And when God speaks to us, we should listen. Verse 11, "Then said I, Lord, how long? And he answered, Until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate. And the Lord hath removed men far away, and there be a great forsaking in the midst of the land." And that speaks of apostasy, and it speaks a number of things. I can talk about the land of Israel being desolate during the time of the carrying away to Babylon. We can talk about after the Jews rejected Christ, and for centuries the land of Israel was dormant and no one lived there. In verse 12, "Until the Lord have moved men far away, and there be a great forsaking in the midst of the land." But in verse 13, "But yet in it there shall be a tenth, and it shall return, and it shall be eaten as a teal tree and as an oak whose substance is in them when they cast their leaves. So the holy seed shall be the substance thereof." Now, I believe that's an important chapter, and the last few verses may not make any sense to you, but I believe it's important that we hear the Word of God publicly read. But I'd like to talk to you about a few missionaries. Some of these men I've had the opportunity to meet and hear preach. One of them was an acquaintance of mine, actually. Let's start, I guess, historically. Let's start with the first one. The nation of Burma, and I think it's got a different name currently now, but I guess it's between India and China. The old name was Burma. And there was a Baptist missionary named Adoniram Judson, and he was the first, or one of the first men to go into Burma. And you can read his testimony, just as I did. You can read of the struggles that he had. You can read how God led him to the land of Burma. You can read of how he translated the Bible into the Burmese language. You can read how he preached in many villages. He led a number of people to the Lord. And he opened up. He was a pioneer, and he opened up the nation of Burma to the gospel. And others were able to go, many others were able to go after him as missionaries. But he was the pioneer to that place. And I guess jumping to the 20th century, we can talk about some of the people that I know. Everybody knows of Mother Teresa, and she did her work in Calcutta. Now, I don't know Mother Teresa, and I don't necessarily believe what she believed, but one man that did go to the same place and work with the poor people in Calcutta, his name was Mark Buntain, and I had the privilege of hearing him speak one time, just for a few minutes. I think he greeted the congregation in the church that I was, just for a few minutes. But I had a chance to hear him. And he spent most of his life in Calcutta, India. I think he went to Bible college in his 20s or something. He got out, and essentially he spent the rest of his life in India, in Calcutta. And you can read, just as I have, and that's interesting. Most of these people that I'm going to talk about today, you can read their stories. And I guess it's a sad lament that if you go to the Christian bookstore, a lot of the books that will help you, such as Bible study tools or concordances or something, and especially books about missionaries, they put those in the back, not near the front, obviously. That's kind of embarrassing these days. Nobody wants to read or hear about missionaries. We'd rather sell trinkets and self-help books and what have you. But I read the story of Mark Buntain and his suffering. I actually read the book that was written by his wife, Hulda, and it talks about her life, saying, "Well, Lord, whatever you have for us, we'll do." And obviously a great portion of the book talked about Mark. Another man, and I don't believe that I had a chance to meet him or see him, but another man was Victor Plymire. He wrote a book, or that was actually written about him, I guess, but the name of the book is called High Adventure in Tibet. Now, Tibet is right next door to Nepal. Nepal is the country that Mount Everest is in. Tibet is where the Dalai Lama is from. But Victor Plymire sacrificed a lot. Remember Paul, when Jesus met Paul on the road to Damascus, Jesus took great pains to show the new apostle what he would suffer for the gospel. Victor Plymire buried one of his children and his wife in the ice after they died of some fever. I think he lost another of his wives on the foreign field, and his third wife, she outlived him. But he spent a lot of time in Tibet, attempting to reach the people in Tibet. Matter of fact, he made it to the Forbidden City. I think the name of it is Lhasa, but in the book it talks about, in a circumspect way, that he went to the Forbidden City and he met the Dalai Lama, the man that we've seen on TV, what have you. He met him and he preached the gospel to him. The man doesn't confess Christ today, but the fact is that the king, or whatever title it is that he has, of Tibet, Victor Plymire witnessed to the king. There's a man named H.B. Garlock, and I don't know if I met him, but several members of his family I've heard speak. Several members of his family had spent time on the mission field with him. They went to, if I'm not mistaken, they went to Liberia. It's in Africa. And you can read about him as a book that he wrote. It says, Before We Kill and Eat You. And it talks about the fact that he went to the people that were cannibals. And you can read the wonderful things that he did. At one point, he was walking and fell off a cliff. And on the way down, he said, Oh, Lord, help me. And the next thing he knew, a hand reached down and put him back on the cliff. That's a wonderful miracle. At one point, he was trying to cross a river, and there was a flood that came, and they said, Well, you know, I don't know how we're going to cross it. We don't have any boats or anything. And he went to bed, and the next morning they woke up, and they found themselves on the other side of the river because God placed them there. But again, you can read the suffering that he went through. Morris Plotts, I heard him preach several times. Charles Greenaway, I heard him preach as well. These three men went to Africa, and it's interesting because God will call a certain person to a certain place, and they will give their whole lives either there or wishing they could go back to there. They give up family and friends. They give up good food. They give up safe food. They give up clean water. They give up safety. They give up a nice place to live. They give up everything that they have, and they will go to the mission field. And they will give their lives in service many times. Give their lives in service to people who nobody in the world has really ever heard of. But God loves those people. We know the verses that go, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But Paul said, How will they hear without a preacher? And how will the preacher know what to do? And it talks about being sent. How will they hear except they be sent? God sends. God calls. Are we willing to say, Yes, Lord, we'll go? Maybe you don't feel a call to Africa. Few do. But when the missionary gives his testimony, perhaps you could consider dropping a few dollars into the plate. Perhaps you can consider praying for missionaries. I've done a little bit work. I guess in the last 15 years I've made several trips to Haiti. And I guess if you put it all together, I've spent about a month and a half there through the years. Just a little trip for a week or a week and a half or something at a time. I'm not much of a missionary, but you've heard me preach and talk about the work that I've done. Pray for me. Pray for a guy named Dave Olaking. He was actually an acquaintance of mine. and I heard him preach many times as well, but I'd gotten to be friends with him. He was one of the last people to leave Vietnam, and that was, you know, after the Vietnam War or whatever, when they chased everybody out. When Vietnam opened back up some, I guess about a decade or so ago, he was about one of the first ones that went back to where God had called him to go. And to my knowledge, he's there and suffering for the Lord, but also winning souls, and he would probably give his life there. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. Or just go to the main page and follow the links on the left, and you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly, encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.